All right, everyone, stand for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chair's budget workshop meeting. Today is Wednesday, March 5th, and the time is 10:04. Pursuant to the requirements of the Open Public Meeting Act, Chapter 231, Public Law 1975, notice of this meeting was published in the February 28, 2025 issues of the Herald News and posted on the township website and Nutley Town Hall Bulletin Board. A copy of this notice has been placed on file in the municipal clerk's office. Commissioner Evans.
Here.
Commissioner Tucci.
Here.
Commissioner Scarpelli. Via Zoom.
Here.
Oh, what are you going to do? That's the volume at 100, so.
Fix the volume.
Yes, I'm up now.
Mayor Kelly.
Present.
Also present is Stephanie Santana, our CFO, and Ray Sirenelli, Sr., the municipal accountant from Zavagia, and our attorney, Jonathan Bruno, is via Zoom.
The only thing we have on our agenda so far today is our budget discussion, so I'll turn it over to our Representative Finance Commissioner, Commissioner Evans.
There. A couple of things. Overall, our budget has increased roughly $2.1 million year over year after transfers out to the sewer utility completing appropriations are now total $64,708,856. We also have had an increase in our revenues, net of about $734,000, so that the amount that we will need to raise from our taxpayers is roughly $1.4 million. Including the library, that translates right now to on average $132 per household. As far as the numbers are concerned, the work that everybody's done, I think we have a good starting point. And I mean starting point because I think we have more work to do in order to be able to get down to a level which. Don't know what the county increase will be if there's one. What we do know, though, is that the equalization ratio for the townships went down from 96.5% down to 89%, which means fair value of property went up. So it's a good thing that values went up. It's also market conditions are driving that, as we all know. But in the county, the formula for allocating the county tax is based upon the assessable value of your property. So the fact that on an equalized basis, the valuation, the equalized ratio went down, that means that we run the risk of getting a greater allocation of the county tax, which could be in the range of 2.5% to 3%. And that itself would increase the taxpayer, residential taxpayer base by $70 on average per household. Right now, the school had plus 3% in their school aid year over year. It's better than what was anticipated. And from what I understand, the school board is working on their increase, which they believe will be in the 3.5% range. However, they need to work through a lot of detail before they can confirm that, or I'd be willing to stand by it. There's still a lot of moving parts across the street. So while the county and the school is not directly ours, we need sort of be aware of it. But if you put it all together, where we are right now, the average taxpayer can see on average, with all things in, could be between $340 and $380 per house. The average household is $491,000, or roughly about $12,500. So if you're below that, you'll get less. If you're above that, you're going to get more. Me too. Right. We'll get more of that. So what we have to do today is understand where we're at. I'm hopeful that before we adopt, we will be able to collect from the school district the $300,000 that is related to school crossing guards. Their budget does not actually account for that today, given all the disruption. But I have had conversations with the monitor, who we had a strong conversation about that was a commitment that was made, and they need to stand by that no matter what they're doing in their analysis. They have to stand by that. Yeah. So, you know, all things being equal, and given the history, we would be, I cleared this with Ray, we would be able to, if we get a check, we will be able to add it to our budget assumption for 2025, which is $300 or about $30, $300,000, which is about $30 per household. But we can't do that unless we get a check in hand that clears the bank, right? Because of history of non-compliance. So if we get that, that might be a way to...
When did they say they would be good for it?
It won't be here in time for us to introduce, but it could be here in time before we adopt. So it's early May timeframe. I think that would happen. Stay on that to keep pushing on that to make sure that that becomes a standing commitment. We did have a note sale on Tuesday for bonding related to 777. We were able to secure a one-year note at a net interest rate of 3%. Terms of the lease arrangement, which will start in September and payments for next year, that if, at 3%, that allows the lease payment that we'll get for the school to cover the debt service payment. That we have to make on the interest. So it's coming into line.
That's an interest only loan.
Yeah, it's a note. I'm, instead of doing a bond, because the expectation is, as you know, 2031, 32, that note will flip to the school because their heavy debt is coming off the books then. So the big debt will come off. This will go on. We'll have to bond it at that time at whatever interest rate and whatever term that makes sense for them. We will roll it as notes.
What's the term of it?
When you
have to go back.
I'll down. Do it again. Yeah, it's the same thing I did with Ciccolini. We floated the notes and we wrote it down. One year of the note that we did with Ciccolini, interest rate was down to 0.5%. So we were able to, we bought it, but we were able to pay the note, the debt off in 3 years. With very low enter it the same way, because I think the rate volatility is going to continue, and I think we'll be able to take advantage of that.
Do you think they would have to, how long did they have? So they're going to pay interest only until 2032, you're saying?
Yeah.
And then they'll bond the money, and how long would that be
before well, they get it? So
they could go 20 years on that?
They could, yeah, because it's capital improvement. So they can stretch that out for as long as they'd like to. They might have other capital improvement requirements then, but whatever that is, it doesn't. It should not necessarily include a large-scale referendum. It would be a need for one. And I've talked with them several times about why wait 30 years to go out and ask everybody for $70, $80 million if you have some things that need to get done periodically, so you do smaller bites. That are more reasonable and have different terms, which can manage that debt service much better. So in the budget's summary, we have it lays out by department, you know, what's going on, the pluses and the minuses for each of you. Each of you can comment on what's happening in your budget areas. I can help you. Revenue and finance, we're going down roughly $2.6 million, and that's primarily related to the transfer of the 24 sewer money off of the books going into the sewer utility, as you can see, of $2.2 million, right? That's a reduction in cost. It's a transfer to another billing. This transfer that took place in revenue finance at DPW completes the transfer of and setting up the utility now for the entire year. Last year, we did it for 6 months. Now we're doing it for the full calendar. So it's just a transfer. The decrease in my area of $422,000 primarily relates to the fact that last year I put in an appropriation for $513,000 as a reserve in case we didn't collect enough money in the sewer utility that had to be applied in order to zero out the utility for 2024. Don't have to do that. So if that's coming out as an appropriation in my budget. I do have other pluses and minuses as it relates to salary, the economic development, but they all basically net out. So on the revenue side, an important point to raise is that we did get, over the last few years, municipal relief aid that funded by the government. The first year was about $215,000, $213,000. Last year, it was $547,000. The governor's budget introduced this year eliminates municipal relief aid for all towns that were receiving it. So we had to remove that revenue budget. So right now, that $547,000 is out of our. We do not have, as I mentioned, the school crossing guard revenue. But we might be able to put it back. But as of right now, the $300,000 plus by 800 and change is reducing what's happening to our revenues. It's going up. It's still not up as high as it could have been. As I mentioned to you, we've been struggling with the levy caps, as well as the appropriation caps. I'll tell you that we're okay on the levy cap. We've been working on the appropriation cap. And I think, when he provides comments, share with you the negotiations that we went through with the state to get. If we did not get the cap relief, we would, which I think we've got it covered, and we're able to say more, but if we did not get the cap relief on appropriations, we would be looking at this budget, no matter what the condition of this budget is right now, we would be looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $900,000 of appropriations that would need to be cut in order to meet the 3.5% cap on appropriations. If we did not meet that, then this budget would be required by statute to go out as a public question to get approval from other residents of the town in order for us to adopt. So I believe we're not going to have to go out, but it does put an emphasis on the fact that we should be making sure that we can get the impact on the taxpayers as low as possible. I know some of you have raised with me that you have adjustments to make in your budget. I'm happy to share how you share those comments right now, which I think is great. Ray, I'll turn it over to you.
He's muted.
Oh. Unmute.
I'm sorry. Okay, so you were breaking up a little bit, but I think you summarized. I heard most everything that you summarized, the budget and all the factors that have gotten you to this point. And I think we're getting pretty close to finalizing the budget. The main issue being the cap. We've been doing research on a cap exception. The Division of Local Government Services has taken a little bit of a different position than they have in the past, which was these are the laws, follow them, we don't care. And now they seem to have gotten a different mandate. And, you know, we've looked at exceptions that they've allowed for other municipalities and have been working with them on getting a cap exception, I'll say sort of retroactive for the three pilots that you have in place. It looks very favorable at this point. We've been in contact with them. They understand it. It's similar to what they've allowed, but they haven't finalized their approval. But our expectation is that they probably will. I know Commissioner Petracca has asked year after year, what do we do? You know, we have these cap issues. Well, we haven't had them in the past because of good planning that's been done over the years by everybody. We knew this year we're probably going to hit the cap wall and did preliminarily, but based on our preliminary contacts with them, it looks like we will be getting relief for most of the cap, most of the amount that we're over cap. Commissioner Evans brought up a couple of good issues. The $300,000with the school, if that did come in, I think we're looking at a tax increase, including the library right now, of I think it was $132 or $133. If $132, if that $300,000 comes in, it would get your tax increase very close to or below $100, which sounds a lot better than $132. So, you know, that's broken into two parts. The municipal share of the budget is $113,000, and that's increased by the library by another $19. In my mind, I always separate out the library because that's dictated to you based on the municipal state equalized value. So the part of the budget that you control is up 113. Add the library to it. If you came up with 300,000, I'm sure, I didn't speak to Commissioner Evans about this, if you were somewhere hovering around the $100 increase, you might be flexible enough to find some revenue that would get you under a $100 increase, which I think would be a nice statement to be able to make, particularly in fact, you know, the fact that you lost $547,000 in state aid, which is about half of the tax increase that you're faced with. You did have the note sale, 3%. That's pretty good rate. You had four bids that were very competitive. And we're still trying to wrap up the transition to the water sewer utility and the expenses involved. I think we're pretty close on that. There are a few adjustments that are still being made on the appropriation side. You have some adjustments I know that you're making to the fee structure related to sprinklers and summer use of water, pools, hoses, whatever, that might reduce the revenue. So we may have to look at the sewer rates and adjust them so that the slightly, whatever reductions you make for those, I guess, in a way to be fair, that aren't actually having that water go back into the sewer system, you know, might cause a slight increase in the overall rate to keep the sewer utility self-liquidating. So you're on a good schedule to introduce the budget. The statutory requirement is the end of March or the first meeting after March 31st. I think you're pretty close. If you could wrap the budget up soon, maybe by the end of the week, that would give us enough lead time to get it on the state document and have it for your meeting on April 1st. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. So anyway, commissioners, if you're there, if you have comments on your particular budget areas, it would be great to hear.
I'll start just a couple. For
For the lines that I control in the Parks Department, we're up about $128,000, all right, over last year's budget, and that's still a work in progress. So we're gonna do better on that, and we should bring that down somewhat. The big ticket items for us, and I know Commissioner Evans and the mayor and Bishop Petracco also know this, are the insurances, all right, the amounts that we pay the GIF, which is a 4% increase this year, which includes a retroactive payment because we in some of the other areas. And the big hit is the group insurance. So what everyone just needs to keep in mind is when someone retires, they're not off of our books. We just move them into another column. And this year, once again, just on the premium, we've sustained like a 17% increase. But then there's the ripple effect, all right, on the buyout and everything else and everything that's associated with that, which ticks that up a little bit to about 19%. All right. But Commissioner Evans and I have had many conversations about this. And Stephanie, I know you've been speaking to Frank about this. And we're working on bringing that number down. So that's also a work in progress. So we're going to be able to do better there. But we have to anticipate retirees, again, moving over into another column. And we have to anticipate new hires. So depending on what status is of the new hires, whether they're single or member spouse or family coverage, you know, it could be up to $51,000 and change per person.
Commissioner, how much is family coverage this year?
$51,000 and change.
Right, per employee. So if you think about it, and you add to it the taxes for Social Security, Medicare, unemployment, plus the pension cost, plus health care, and you add it up, a fully loaded employee who's making, for say, for on average $50,000 a year, is somewhere, that one employee costs the taxpayers roughly $125,000.
Yeah.
Right? Obviously, given the scale, you know, in public safety, that number is much, much higher. We've talked about this before. We've tried to adopt hiring freezes in the past. We've tried to look at things that is, you know, let's be careful about what we're hiring, what we're paying people, because we have to recognize that it's not just salary, it's all these loaded costs. And what sometimes is a challenge is pension and payroll taxes are in my department, insurances are in your department, and payroll is in everybody else's department. It becomes a challenge to really sit back and say, when I make this decision, what am I actually paying this employee for the work that they provide? Absolutely nothing is wrong with paying people what they do. I think fair day's wage, fair day's work, I think applies. But recognizing that the cost of manpower in today's environment is very, very high. We have to be careful about
that. And it's not just the salary.
No, it's not.
Benefit package, many times, as you said, is cost us more than salary is.
Yeah.
So there needs to be something done at a higher level than us, all right, to help adjust this, right? I'm not talking about upside adjustments, you know, that the state may or may not make depending on the year. That's not for now, that's in the future, but in the meantime.
Pointing it out, but what they've done in the last 2 years at the state level?
Yes.
And not at the local level? Yeah, absolutely agree.
Yeah, there last night, it seems like things start changing. But hopefully
because,
like Commissioner Tucci said, you know, the health care is extraordinary and has to be taken care of because it's getting harder and harder to run public safety and keep our residents safe. Because when retirees come off the board, if we don't replace in public safety, then we have holes in public safety with break-ins and bail reform and taking on the ambulance squad. You guys can see how busy we are, so it's not even an option not to replace these people for us. And I think the problem really lies in the state. Control the health.
I think we also need to start a conversation with the bargaining units as to how collectively we address some of these issues. because we just can't do it by ourselves. Because as you know, especially with your contracts, Michelle, locked into certain things. All right. But if we can get some flexibility while still giving people the coverage that they need, because healthcare is very touchy. You know, people are very sensitive to it, and rightfully so, because, you know, in the event that you have a medical event, you want to make sure that you have enough coverage to carry you through and that you don't wind up in the poorhouse because you got sick. But these are some of the things that we need to keep on our radar and keep in the forefront, because these are important discussions. Otherwise, the spiral will just continue.
Yeah. And when you add to it, you know, we have over 2,200 properties in Nutley that are part of the property tax freeze program, right? So which means they're 65 years or older, and they're and the way the rules are right now, you got to pay it out in order to get it back. So cash flow becomes very critical for quite a few of our residents. So we always have to keep that in mind, because I think. Yes, with that, we have to represent everybody. So remember, if you're going to lower healthcare costs, you're going to lower the benefit. It's not about getting the same benefit for less. The benefit's going to come down. The contribution levels are going to go up in order to lower the premium. Right, and that's the only way to do it.
It's a delicate balance.
No, it's very hard.
Taking care of our employees and making sure they have proper coverage and always. The taxpayers in mind, how much, you know, we're actually charging them, you know, to provide these services.
Yeah.
And being compatible in the marketplace to get good people. And, you know, when they have other towns giving higher pays and, you know, the same benefits, if we start cutting back, how do we get those stellar people to provide the services that we do?
Well, we're not talking about cutting back, so let's not say that message. Okay. We're talking about starting a conversation with the very, very early stages.
But it's just the reality of the environment that we're in. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it'd be wrong on our part not to recognize the reality. What we do about it, what we can do about it, is a different discussion. Right. But we need to be aware. I think it drives us to think of, you know, are we providing essential services? You know, are all services necessary? Did they provide a benefit to that we are? Making sure we can justify what's in the budget. And to the point that Ray made, you know, because of, you know, we're going to look at the pilots as a way to create an exception for the cap. There's no written rule that says that's an exception. They've allowed it in certain circumstances in the past, and we're negotiating through that, and we think we're going to be successful. But recognizing that we have a cap limit next year, it will stay the same at 2.5% plus the adjustment we make for the one. So we got 3.5%, which means expenses across the board can't really rise more than $1.2 million, right? Otherwise, we have a cap problem. And we're taking this exception this year. So, you know, where we'll be next year when we don't have that close this year, right? So just have to keep in mind it can't all be added, right? That's not calling for anything. We're not taking any. Just being aware of the fact that we are at a point where costs are so high and burdensome that we have to consider that. Now, when you flip it and you say, okay, we took this money out of the budget or the operating budget and moved it into the sewer utility, which basically said instead of paying super sewer based upon the assessable value of your property, you'll pay for it based upon what you use, your consumption. It's a consumption-based bill, right? Now, all those costs went into the utility. The sewer bill, as we were discussing last night, went up from 4.2 to almost $4.7 million. So that roughly $400,000 or $500,000 is in there, now has to be captured in making sure we're capturing that in the rates. So with all of the adjustments that are going to be made, and you hear everybody has their own issue, and we should be fair and equitable, but at the end of the day, when you adjust for everything you think you have to adjust for, you still have to have a rate that collects what the bill is. And as Joe mentioned last night, sewer bill is a bill. It's just like the pension bill. It's like the insurance bill. It's like everything else. It's a bill. We have no control.
You should what, about 12%?
Oh, it's incredible. That alone. If you saw what the Snake Valley Sewer was saying about, building a parallel, trunk line, right, to capture more sewage and stuff so it doesn't have the runoff, at a couple billion dollars to build it, and says, don't worry, all 48 municipalities will pay for it. Well, that means our bill is going to go up. This reality is it's going to go up even further. So just the world that we live in.
You get the challenges of what to go.
Yeah, exactly.
All set.
So I look as tired as I do on my body. So anyway, Al, anything to add?
No, I mean, I think that, it's important that the school board helps pay the bill that we were talking about before. That brings, my increase down substantially, and, whatever we can do to make all this work, we're all on the same page, and, we want to move the town forward and give a, we pay taxes here to let real that and give the lowest, responsible budget that we can.
Yes, lowest responsible by absolutely.
Sure, just a couple points. Out of the mayor's budget, this includes the library's budget, which we had a good idea buried down in the State House this year, who they passed an unfunded mandate, which caused us to have an increase there. And the other big increase in the mayor's budget is next year is 2026. It's the 250th anniversary of the founding of our nation, and our civic celebration account. Firework people informed us that, and we've been with them for so long that they're going to be increasing their rates, and so we're capturing that and making sure that we can continue to rise the patriotic celebration that we always do every year, despite it being a banner year. In public affairs, every 5 years there's a new garbage contract, and every 5 years there's an adjustment that needs to be made going forward. That increase should be relatively flat. Most of that increase is out of garbage, and again, we're on a new system. Touted before, this system will save us money in the long run. However, we're trying to work out where that money savings are, and so we're not as aggressive in where we can be in terms of the loads going to the dump. We haven't calculated January or February yet, but for the month of January, I think we saw a 70-ton decrease with this.
In cost-wise, we saved over $10,000 at the Essex County Utility, and we saved over $6,000 at Interstate Waste.
So we are seeing some of those savings. However, just to be cautious, we're not going to fully roll back those savings. And as I said, with a new contract, there's always a cost increase, but it's a five-year contract, and so that cost increase should be relatively flat. I do want to flag, our auditor flagged, we have the Nutley Cultural Inclusion and Diversity Council, which has a small amount of budget item. And the reason for that is we do get a lot of grants through having that line item in our budget. However, with everything going on in Washington, it could potentially raise issues with the federal grants. And we spoke with our grant writer. They don't see a very large concern there, but I have an abundance of caution. What I believe the solution will be is to rename that budget line item from diversity related to cultural recognition, which should satisfy that concern. And I believe that's all I wanted to discuss. As Commissioner Petracco said, continuing to look at this to make sure that we have the lowest responsible budget. And right now, with the new garbage system, there's a lot of guesswork, and we want to be as aggressive as possible, but also still be kind of conservative in case we don't expect.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, sorry, I've been in and out, guys. So, with the sewer utility, we were able to decrease the sewer line item about $49,000. Mostly for salary and O&E. We did see some increase in our costs last year that we have to roll forward on our disposal of our recycling and our vegetation. So there are some slight increases there. But overall, we're relatively flat as we move forward. So some work still to be done, probably a little bit both ways. But I think for the most part, the utility, even though we're losing in the operating budget, it's obviously going into the utility. And I think we sent a letter out to everybody so that we can contact our legislators that Passaic Valley Sewage is looking at a redundancy project that will cost somewhere between $1.3 and $1.5 billion. So they're looking for help either from the feds or from the state to offset that, or else they're going to have to pass it on to the member municipalities, which one of them is us. So we saw a 6% increase in sewage treatment this past year. And I don't even want to foresee if that $1.4 billion gets passed on to us, what kind of increase we're talking about next year. So just a cause for concern, and any advocacy we can do on our behalf, let's do it.
Just keep in mind a final thing. When you think about the budget, we run into taxpayers all the time who say taxes are so high. You're taxing me out of town, what can you do? If we were to cut our budget $10 million, that would reduce the average tax by $1,000. It takes $500,000 to reduce the tax rate one penny, and one penny is worth $50 on average. So when you think about it, it's enormously difficult, to address anything that people would actually recognize as a beneficial reduction. And the only way you get to that is you start just drawing X's through things that are in the budget, which we have done, I think, over the years. We've been working on this for a good 10 years to keep the budget efficient, keep what is in there. We also know that we carry a fund balance that is reapplied for tax relief. It's something that's been on our books for 20 years. So if we don't regenerate that, that could actually create a tax increase. So we manage that very, very closely. We continue to enjoy a good bond rating. We're now AA, highest being AAA. So with that enabled us to continue to be able to borrow at some very good rates. So I do need from you your capital requirements for everyone quickly, because if we do a good job, we can get it into the budget submission versus waiting till July. And if we can get that in, we can introduce those ordinances, which would make the money available in time to be able to use it before the cold weather comes. So keep that in mind.
We have to do to increase our bond rating to AAA.
Interesting. Two things. We have to increase our community income. So the average household income has to rise. And because of the unfunded obligation under pension that we become liable for, that would have to be reduced. So the state's been fully funding pension, and they're lowering that gap. So one day that might benefit us. But it's not our books, our reserves. And so we and we get very good positive comments back on how we're controlling that. But the other variables are who's in town, how much do they make? And that's because that's an affordability question, right? Do you have the wherewithal to increase taxes, and that's what they look at. Is they understand costs are going up, but can your community sustain the ability to pay for those increases? So they look at average income as a factor. The other is basically off balance sheet obligations, which is primarily is the state. We do not have an unfunded obligation because we pay everything 100% every year. We have none of that. It's part of the overload that goes on top of it from the state that goes into that calculation. Again, it's not something that we have control over. The factors that prevent us from getting there are simply beyond our specific control. We're close. We're very close. And I've argued because I look at other towns that are AAA, and I look at where we're at, and I keep on scratching my head, and because I think we should get there. We almost did. We almost did. But now that we moved up from AA2 to AA1, we have to look at it over the next.
What's the difference in the rate, Tom? AAA to AA?
You could see a quarter of a point. You can see a quarter of a point. Not unrealistic to see a half, but you could see a quarter. If AAA, then you could see potentially a half percent, which is meaningful, sure. Which is very meaningful.
Well, we can continue to make this community an attractive place to live and attract people who, I mean, want to live here, which we have been seeing in the last couple of years as well.
Yeah. So it takes a good school system. It takes, it takes a village to do that. So a lot of things have to come into play. So that's all, everything that we have. Any other comments before we close? So give me changes. We need to get them. I will remind you, Friday would be ideal to get those. And beyond Friday, it becomes really hard to get ready for the press. So any changes that you're looking at, please review them closely and see what we can do. Okay?
Well, good. I don't see anyone from the public here, so I'll entertain a motion to adjourn with our next meeting being at 18th at 7 p.m.
Move it.
Second. Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petrocco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
The time is now 10:26.